This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Jason Fitz and Freddie Coleman in on Barton Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 6X and Channel 80, as well as ESPN Plus. Also, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices each and every day. So if you have not heard the news, Brittany Griner, the WNBA she's played in Russia before, was sentenced to 9 years in prison by a Russian court for carrying 0.702 grams of cannabis oil. Prosecutors said it was enough to meet the significant amount threshold under the Article 229 of Russia's criminal code. Now, that's all semantics. That's all according to what we've been able to find out about. It comes down to this, though. It comes down to this, though, Jason. Now the governments really get involved, because they've already gotten involved from last week, having initial discussions about prisoner swaps involving Brittany Griner and somebody else. I can't remember his name right now, so forgive me for not remembering his name. But if we thought things were convoluted before, it's about to get even more convoluted with this appeal that's going to happen from maybe both sides. The sentence has been handed down. And what now for Brittany Griner? Especially when President Biden said that this is unacceptable, and I call on Russia to release her immediately so she can be with her wife, loved ones, friends, and teammates. My administration will continue to work tirelessly and pursue every possible avenue to bring Brittany and Paul Whelan home safely as soon as possible.
The difficult part of this moving forward, if we take everything else from the conviction aside, and let's look at the fact that now the presumption is that a negotiation is about to start. So however we got here, this is where we are. Now we start the negotiation.
Right.
What's particularly difficult about that is, according to multiple reports, the negotiation that they're looking for in exchange for would be Brittany Griner and another American in exchange for somebody that is known as the Merchant of Death. And you're talking about prior to his arrest in 2008 for arms trafficking, he was one of the world's most wanted men. So he was two decades, was one of the world's most notorious arm dealers, sold weapons to rogue states, rebel groups, and murderous warlords, that according to Reuters. So when you start thinking about what is being asked for here, this is no laughing matter, and it's no joking matter. The hardest part about this is now, as an administration, the Biden administration is going to have to make very difficult decisions on what to do and how to do it. Because ultimately, as I said earlier, passionately, and I will always stand by, the objective here is to bring every wrongfully detained American home. The hardest part of that is that, you know, to use an analogy most people listening to will understand, you can suggest a trade in Madden all day, but you're going to get turned down on a lot of it. The trade that's being asked for here is going to be a very difficult one for negotiation purposes. I cannot imagine what it's like right now to be a politician in this world trying to figure out how to navigate the safe return of somebody that we're all watching with a lot of pressure, but also understanding that what's being asked for in return is something that the entire world is going to look at and say, you did what? So this is a very difficult situation, even moving forward, to your point, why the negotiation could take years. We have no idea at this point.
You've mentioned something that popped into my head about negotiations when it comes to somebody who has not been the best of people, the Merchant of Death that you just mentioned. This goes on a lot with countries where they want somebody that's been wrongfully detained or somebody that means a lot to them. The other government is going to say, okay, but we want our guy back, even though he has been a terrible person, she's been a terrible person. How badly do you want this person back that you're willing to trade? Because that's what this is. It's a person-to-person trade, or people-to-people trade. And some people are going to say, you can't trade a Merchant of Death for Brittany Griner. When other governments, even this government, has done this time and time again, when it comes to something like this involving people, involving somebody that is, let's call it as it is, it is a chess piece. Brittany Griner has unfortunately become a chess piece. She's become a pawn in this whole deal involving the United States and Russia. And President Biden has put it out there saying, we're going to do everything we can to bring her back. And there are going to be some people, and you mentioned this an hour ago, that say, wait a minute, she committed a crime. She should have known better and everything like that. These also be some of the same people that if somebody that they like does something wrong will make excuses for that person. That's what it comes down to as far as I'm concerned, with so many people on the other side of this when it comes to Brittany Griner. And don't give me the whole patriotism and everything like that. You can't make patriotism work for you when you want it. It can't just be something that you can attach to somebody you like and somebody that you don't like. And too many people have done that more than ever before, no matter it's been here and other places. It seems that too many agendas get pushed at the expense of people. And unfortunately, Brittany Griner, she's probably going to find out about that when it comes to her getting back to the United States and getting out of this situation, not serving 9 years in a Russian prison.
I want to give credit to Corporate Security Director Paul Whelan is the other person that has been rumored to be part of this swap. He's been detained wrongfully for over 2 years at this point. So I want to make sure to give his name some respect here. I also want to remind everybody that according to a law passed by Congress in 2020, this is the quote from the law. Whenever we say someone is wrongfully detained, which is what our government, not the Russian courts, but our government has decided, it would include, quote, credible information indicating innocence of the detained individual, quote, credible reports that the detention is a pretext for an illegitimate purpose, or, quote, diplomatic engagement that will likely be necessary. So we have decided either she didn't do it, or this was all a game from the beginning as a government, no matter what the Russian courts have decided. T.J. Right. Quinn will give us some more insight on that in a little bit. But one thing that I, again, have to stress loudly is that the goal here is to protect every single American.
Right.
The hard part about it is we talk about precedent all the time. It's a word I know I use too much. If you made it a shot game, you'd have a hard time walking around the house. But you think about precedent. What you don't want to create is a world where every time any American is traveling, they have to worry about suddenly becoming a pawn in a negotiation for another person. So it's not as simple as, what do you want? You can have it. We need our people back. The negotiation process of this takes people way smarter than I am. I sit in front of a microphone and talk about sports. So, again, loudly, I can't speak to every wrongfully detained American anywhere in the world. But I can tell you that all of this, when you look at it, has been exactly what we were told from the get-go. T.J. Quinn has done spectacular reporting. I didn't know a damn thing about the Russian judicial system until all of this started. And all I've done is what we implore you guys to do all the time. I've read as much as I possibly could. And from the outset, T.J. Quinn has said, these are the steps that have to happen to get to the point that negotiation can be real. Now we have to sit back and say, let's negotiate. And I just think it's amazing, to your point, how so many people that will call into this show or any of our shows and yell at me about second chances that people deserve in society, but now sit here and say, well, she broke the rules, which we don't even know that she did,
right,
and the judicial system is spoken for a judicial system we have no real understanding of. Like, it's amazing how outside both sides of the mouth this all comes, and I don't get it. Like, an American wrongfully detained, we need to bring all Americans home.
Something else you just said about Jason Fitz, Freddie Cohen, and Barton Hahn, and ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, the kind of trampoline over what you just said. Some of these same people will rather have something that's a communist country at the expense of somebody from a diplomatic country that the United States, because if they don't like that person or don't share in their values or don't share in the fact that they're not the same lifestyle or living the same life that you think that they should lead, whether it's biblical or whether that is. I find it always fascinating how more than ever before people will try to justify that. These are the same people that if you had had this conversation during the Cold War in the 50s and 60s, they would have laughed you out of the United States. Now, well, they're free to speak their piece. Really? Because these are some of the same people that are talking about, we can't have communist countries taken over, but yet, well, we can't have, she broke the law in the communist country according to what they have over there. I find that fascinating.
And like, look, I don't care how uncomfortable it makes people. Like, the fact is, as long as, like, there's a certain group of people right now that are loudly pounding on the table, well, she protested the flag and she didn't stand during the anthem, and that's, you know what, maybe she deserves it. Like, really? Like, you peacefully protested, which people have died for the right for you to be able to do, and now suddenly we're going to use that as some moral high ground of why she shouldn't be saved the way any other American should. And what's wild to me about is like, where's the line? We keep talking about it with Roger Goodell and with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Where's the line? To me, okay, so you don't like her politics, and that means we shouldn't fight for her to come home. What happens when you do like their politics, or what happens when somebody doesn't agree with something else for your family? Like, at some point, we just got to strip all of this nonsense away and look at it and say, my God, this isn't right, and we've got to figure out a stop for it. We've got to figure out a fix for it. And I don't care whether we're talking about Paul Whelan or Brittany Griner or anybody else that's wrongfully detained.
20 minutes away from what T.J. Quinn of ESPN Investigative Reporter fame has to say about Brittany Griner's future. That comes to you in 20 minutes here on Barton Hahn with Freddie Coleman and Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. They're here to help you score big savings. To see how much you can save on auto insurance, all you got to do is visit progressive.com. We're going to use the word unacceptable. We used it with Brittany Griner, and now we're going to use it again with Deshaun Watson of the Cleveland Browns. 6-game suspension and a fine that was not going to be levied, according to Judge Robertson. And the NFL thought that was unacceptable. They decided to appeal that whole thing. And now we're going forward for the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, and the NFL. Let's bring the man, Mike Tannenbaum. He's an FOS friend of the show as an ESPN NFL front office insider. He joins Jason Fitz and Freddie Coleman here on Bart and Hahn. Mike, I had to apologize to NFL fans out there, including Jason Fitz, about that. I should have seen this coming with the NFL appealing this decision from Monday. What are your thoughts on the NFL doing this when it seemed that everybody was ready to move on when Deshaun Watson was going to be suspended 6 games?
I think what the league was dealing with was two competing interests. One is, I think they were legitimately trying to get out of the player discipline area and allow a third party, Judge Robinson, to handle it. But I think in this case, it was so, for them, I'm sure what they were thinking is the allegations were so strong and that the punishment was so light that they had really no option. And I think, looking at where we are now, I'm hard-pressed to think if Deshaun Watson actually plays this year, because I'm sure they're going to look for, you know, a season-long suspension. I don't think they're going to go through this just to try to tack on maybe one or two more games.
What do the Browns do, Mike? And I don't mean at the quarterback position. I mean in this entire battle, because they've got an employee they just rewarded a huge contract to that is part of their future. They're also part of the league and the brotherhood of the NFL. So how do they get involved in this fight at all?
Yeah, I think it's one of these things you got to sit on the sidelines and let things kind of go, you know, unfold, and knowing that you were expecting, you know, bumps in the road and that this could likely be the result. And hopefully over long term, you know, he turns out to be a really good player for them and a great citizen in Ohio. And that this was something that, you know, they contemplated when they made the trade, that year one was going to be, you know, very up and down.
Jason brought up something in terms of the Browns cap space that I didn't know about, that they have, what, close to $48 million.
Almost 49, yeah.
Almost $49 million in cap space. And he said, why would you have that kind of cap space if you believe that something could happen regarding Deshaun Watson? Based on what he said, how much of that could have been the Cleveland Browns saying, hey, there's a big chance that we might not have this guy in Deshaun Watson for 2022?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, very reasonable that they were trying to plan for the alternative in their back pocket. You know, maybe they want to go out and get another quarterback. Maybe do they take a shot at Jimmy Garoppolo? Do they, you know, maybe there's a lot of different things they could do, go after another veteran at some point. So I think it's smart strategic planning on their part. So, you know, we'll see how it unfolds. But I think the story's far from over, guys, because I just don't think Deshaun Watson's going to miss 6 games.
So, wow. Mike, this is my favorite thing to do with you, because, like, you actually know what it's like to be in a front office. So, mm-hmm. As opposed to a guy like me, the closest I've ever come to a trade is what Madden tells me no to. So, let's just be real, Mike. I'm making you the GM of the Browns. What's the offer you're comfortable giving the 49ers that gets you Jimmy G?
You know, a conditional pick. You know, it's not unlike where we were a decade ago with Brett Favre at the Jets, where our pick to the Green Bay Packers was conditional on how much he played and how successful we were. And I think a situation like this, you know, look, Jacoby Brissett's played good football in the NFL. He is not a throwaway by any stretch. I just think if you're Cleveland, you have the cap space, as you mentioned, you have a really good team and you're competing against Cincinnati, and, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore aren't going away either. So if you could get another good quarterback and it's a conditional pick, that's something I think you got to strongly consider. And we got to remember that, at some point, San Francisco has their own cap challenges where they're trying to sign Nick Bosa. So, you know, at some point, if I'm San Francisco, I got to take the best deal I possibly can get.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining Freddie coming to Jason Fitz on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. And I love the fact you took us behind the curtain, what you had to deal with part of the New York Jets and Brett Favre. But you didn't have to worry about the public relations potential when it comes to this and the Cleveland Browns. How would you handle this going forward when it seemed that this was going to be done after 6 games and now it could last into the regular season when it comes to Sean Watson's suspension? How would you handle that as a GM if you were the GM of the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, again, I think you have to assume worst-case scenario. Again, we're making this trade, guys, and we're telling ownership, our fans, that, you know, we think we're getting a dynamic player in Deshaun Watson, you know, what we think will be for the next, you know, foreseeable future, whatever that may be, 4 or 5 years. With that said, he's been alleged, you know, by 24 women of misconduct, you know, at a minimum, and worst case scenario for him, you know, criminal conduct. So I think what we're saying is like, hey, we believe in you long term. We believe that hopefully you're going to learn from your mistakes and where you get a really good quarterback. But going into it, guys, we got to assume that 2022 is just going to be super almost historically unique in terms of any one of four quarterbacks could play for them right now. Josh Rosen and Josh Dobbs are competing to be the backup. You know, as of now, like it looks like Jacoby Brissett's the starter. And, you know, Deshaun Watson may or may not be eligible to play at all.
It's just wild trying to figure all of this out. Yep. And how the Browns even navigate these waters, you know, especially in a particularly competitive division. So, Mike, when we talk about the AFC overall, how different is the picture if the Browns have Deshaun for, let's say, 10 games or 11 games versus if they don't? How does their season differ, depending?
I think, you know, with Deshaun Watson, they have a chance to, you know, make a meaningful run deep in the AFC. I mean, they're that talented. And, again, I like Jacoby Brissett. He's played good football. Like, that's not a hope. That's not a projection. I just don't think they're in the same class as some of those other teams. Again, you got Joe Burrow. You know, Baltimore is going to be better just by getting healthy. And then, oh, by the way, you look at the AFC, you know, West, and you got four quarterbacks that all have greatness to them. And then, oh, but then you have Josh Allen in Buffalo. So there's a tough road to hoe in the AFC.
Is this the deepest you've seen the AFC, Mike, in a while?
Yeah, especially the AFC West guys. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, you can make an argument for all four teams to win the division, and that's unusual. And you have four great quarterbacks. I mean, four legitimately really, really good quarterbacks. So I think most of the wild cards will come from there. And that's where I think this really becomes so interesting from a Cleveland standpoint because, you know, how long is Watson gone for? How many games can Brissett win? And I think that's really the discussion they need to have because the rest of their roster is ready to go.
Look, I can't hold my joy back any longer. Damn it, Mike. There's a Hall of Fame game tonight involving one team known as my beloved Raiders. The door has been cracked open. I do have a real question, though, for you. Because so many of us, I believe diehard football fans actually love the preseason, love watching their team. They just don't like anybody else. My question for you, though, is from somebody in the league. When you're sitting there at the first preseason game, other than like, okay, we need everybody to be healthy in it, what can you actually look for in a first preseason game that you think carries over into the team for the season?
Really, you want to look at young players that are competing for be it starting job, backup position, and then obviously staying healthy is the most important thing. When you have this fifth preseason game, you know, taking nothing away from your dynamic organization playing tonight. We've already heard, you know, Doug Peterson come out and say Trevor Lawrence isn't playing. You know, guys like Travis Etienne aren't going to play. So it's going to be great to see the product back on the field for all of us that love the game. But I don't think we're going to get a lot of headlines out of tonight.
He's trying to contain his excitement, Mike, but he is failing miserably because he is so excited for his Raiders.
I'm sorry. It's been a long time since I've been this excited for a season, y'all. Nobody's squishing this joy. I'm going to be insufferable on this campus all fall. I'm going to throw myself little parades with confetti every Monday.
Oh, my God. God help us. Hey, Mike, thanks for trying to bring some sanity to Jason, even though that didn't happen either. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Thanks, brother.
All right, thank you.
I'm going to be like that glitter gif where he, like, pops it up and, like, smiles. That's what I'm going to be doing every Monday. I'm just going to be walking around with silver and black glitter.
Well, I don't blame you, number one, because the last time they won a Super Bowl, were you even born when they won a Super Bowl?
Yes, but I was too young. I've been watching Raiders games since I was, I don't know, 6 or 7 with my dad. I was too young to remember that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just on the edge. So, no, my only Super Bowl memory was throwing the largest party that I could possibly throw at the time, buying all sorts of alcohol, waking up that day, finding out that our starting center had gone AWOL. Nobody could find him. I went to Kroger. I pick up the cake that was supposed to be silver and black. Instead, it was blue because they screwed up the icing. I show up. A bunch of my friends thought it would be fun to get Tampa Bay Buccaneers jerseys to troll me. They made fun of me the entire time while I watched the Raiders get absolutely thumped in a Super Bowl. I look around. I realize my house is empty. No one's around. I go out to one of the three kegs that I had on the back porch because I was like, I'm going to drink my misery away, only to find out that my awful friends had all my alcohol and there was nothing left in the house. And Sundays on a stinking in Tennessee where nothing's open where you can drink that late.
You felt like Frank Langella at the end of the movie Dave, didn't you? He thought he's going to win the presidency. Yes. And all of a sudden he has the placard in his hands and nobody is there because Allen dimed him out.
Oh, man. And the worst part about it is I remember after that Super Bowl loss saying, man, after all the years of AFC Championship Division sure. Super Bowl losses, I sat there alone in my house and I said loudly, I'd rather not even make the playoffs than deal with this level of heartbreak every year.
Be careful what you wish for.
And then like 13 straight years of double-digit losses. It's my fault, America. I really put it in the ethos.
I'm glad you were able to, because the first step in understanding a problem is realizing that you could be the problem.
I am the problem. Yeah, like this. It took me a lot of therapy to get past that.
I will say this. AFC West football this year, that's going to be must-see TV every afternoon at 4:25.
Yeah.
Every Sunday afternoon. I would not even have those games play at 1 o'clock. 4:25 at 8 o'clock. Every Sunday. I don't care what the matchup is going to be. Then when things shake out, if your Raiders are doing what they're supposed to do, the Chiefs, I still think the Chiefs are going to win that division. Can't wait to see what Justin Herbert's going to do. Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos, although they've had wide receiver issues, losing one of their guys to a torn ACL. That's going to be old AFL football involving each and every game in the AFC West.
I'm going to be sitting back with my Woodson whiskey every single Sunday.
Look at you.
Lifting one up to Charles and then watching the Raiders win. Oh, God.
Are you going to be okay?
So much joy.
Look at it. It's like somebody told him that Chris was going to be every Sunday with him and his Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Speaking of the NFL. I'm not going to ask you going to be okay. I know the answer to that here. I'm Brian Hahn with Jason Fitz and Freddie coming in for the guys. Staying in the NFL in 20 minutes for another episode of Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. That comes to an end in about 20 minutes. But coming up next, we're going to find out, could Brittany Griner be home sooner than later despite the 9-year sentence that was handed down in Russia? That's next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Hello, Jason Fitz and Freddie Coleman. It is Bart and Hahn presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPN Plus. Basketball superstar Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years in prison by a Russian court for carrying 0.702 grams of cannabis oil. To put that in perspective, that's less than the weight of a stick of gum. Prosecutors said it was enough to meet the significant amount threshold under Article 229 of Russia's criminal code. Our man TJ Gwynn has done a great job covering this story and being a part of the story, as well as an ESPN investigative reporter. He joins him, Barton Hahn. After you found out about the sentencing, TJ, I saw your first thing. You said, this is the first step when it comes to a part of this process in terms of her future. For those who didn't see you say on First Take, TJ, what did you mean by that?
Well, it means that they always expected this, that it was a foregone conclusion she was going to be guilty and that it was going to be a heavy sentence. It's never been about the court case. It's always been about negotiations. What Russia does, has a well-established history of doing, is detaining foreign nationals and then trading them for what they want. In this case, what they've signaled is they want a Russian arms dealer named Victor Boot, who's doing a 25-year sentence in the U.S., So what this does, look, it's hardly great news for Brittany Griner. From all accounts, she's absolutely devastated. But what it does is it lets the case move from the legal world to the diplomatic world. Russia has said all along, don't talk to us about it while a trial is going on, even though it is clearly an illegitimate process. They treat it like it's real, and they want the U.S. to treat it like it's real. Now, Brittany Griner, she did that in her defense. She took it seriously, begged for the court's mercy. It didn't work. But for all purposes, whether the sentence was a year or 10 years, the length of her detention is going to be determined by however long it takes to cut a deal between those two countries.
We're talking to TJ Quinn, ESPN investigative reporter. I will echo the sentiments of Freddie. TJ, you have made us all smarter with your reporting. I cannot thank you enough, and I would implore everybody to read your stuff on this because you've been spot on from day one, and I've needed the education. So I need your education on wrongfully detained because, you know, reading it says that, you know, quote, we would consider credible information indicating innocence of the detained individual. Very directly, does our government accept that she actually had cannabis on her?
Yeah, they don't. And first of all, I mean, I appreciate the good words from both you guys. I am merely a vessel from all the great experts I get to talk to. And, you know, what they've said throughout, and U.S. officials I've spoken to have said, it really never mattered if she had it or not. In fact, to this day, just because she pleaded guilty doesn't necessarily mean that she had it. There was always a recognition that once she's in custody, she's there at the pleasure of Vladimir Putin's government. She leaves when they decide they're ready to let her go. So if she didn't have anything with her, they were still going to convict her. If she did, okay, so what? They're still going to trade for her. So the position of the government really has little to do with whether or not she actually did it. There are a number of other criteria attached to the wrongful detainment designation. It's not just whether they did it. It's, is it a fair legal system? Was she targeted because she's an American? One thing, I don't know that this happened, but one thing that could have had the U.S. reclassify her as a wrongful detainee is if Russia reached out at some point after she was picked up in February and said, what are you willing to do to get her? Once you do that, she is no longer just a criminal defendant. She is a hostage because you have said that the remedy to this case will come from a negotiation between the countries and not from what happens in court. But in the meantime, Russia goes along and pretends the court is legitimate and wants everyone else to do the same.
You wrote on ESPN.com that officials expect that Russia might be more inclined to hasten negotiations once the sentence was handed down like it was. It wouldn't be a shock if Brittany Griner was released in a week, but experience shows that talks can drag on for years. What does your gut tell you?
My gut tells me not to guess. In my few months in a crash course in international hostage diplomacy, it's that you never know what's going on. And even if they were to announce a deal, today, there may be elements to that that we never know about. There may be things that happen, sanctions that are removed, people who are released, who knows what, that you may not find out about or may not even take place for years. All her family can do is wait to hear from the State Department that she's actually on a plane and on the way out. But one of the real problems for the U.S. government trying to cut a deal is it's not like there's a hotline to Vladimir Putin. Just say, hey, Vladdy, here's the deal. Let's make it. You've got all these competing factions within the Russian government. You've got the Kremlin. You've got the foreign ministry. You've got the FSB, which is their kind of the successor to the KGB. You've got different factions within the FSB who want different things. And sometimes people who do these negotiations can come up with a deal and think it's all set to go. And then somebody else in a high position comes in and says, no, that's not what I want. That may have actually happened here because the U.S. government asked in June. Apparently, they offered Victor Boot, the arms dealer, for both Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan, who's been there since 2018 on an espionage conviction. And Russia, in response, reportedly asked for a Russian who's being detained in Germany for a murder he committed in Belgium. And the U.S. responded saying, it's ridiculous. We can't possibly do a deal like that. So it's hard to know who wants what over there.
One thing that has been echoed is that we're talking about this so much because it's Brittany Griner, right? And so many people have come on social media and even calling the show saying that, we're paying attention to this because of her status. Have you gotten any indication of if this case is being handled differently than other cases for wrongfully detained Americans?
What I can tell you is her timetable has been way faster than anybody else's. Like Paul Whelan, the guy the other person who the U.S. wants back in this deal, he was picked up in December 2018. His trial didn't end until June 2020. He was in pretrial for 18 months, and the U.S. didn't declare him wrongfully detained until after that. There's another American over there right now, Mark Fogel, who was just convicted of almost an identical charge, bringing what he said was medically prescribed marijuana into the country, said he didn't know it was illegal. He just got a 14-year sentence. Now, Mark Fogel has not been declared wrongfully detained, and I don't know the specifics of why in his case. But again, that he was just sentenced after he was picked up last year. So there is definitely some haste in the Biden administration to get this done. Is that simply their policy, or is it a result of the pressure that they've gotten? Because once Brittany Griner's name was out there, there has been more attention to this issue than you've seen with anybody else. Paul Whelan's family even said to me that, you know, they don't know that their brother will get to come home the same way that that is part of a Griner deal, but that they were grateful for the amount of attention she's bringing to his case.
Hey, TJ, keep up the great work, my friend.
Great
fantastic,
work,
fantastic stuff. And keep us updated. We'll talk to you soon. And thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
TJ Quinn, ESPN investigative reporter, joining us here on Barton Hahn and ESPN Radio with Freddie coming to Jason Fitz. And by the way, we remind you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. You can always wait anytime you want at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You'll hear why this NFL quarterback always feels like Charlie Brown from the Peanuts comic strip. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
I'm just going to lay it out here like this with Jason Fitz and Freddie Coleman and Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Somebody out there compared the LIV Golf Tour to the PGA Tour, and they use a pizza shop analogy. Who was that person? Bryson DeChambeau. He and Phil Mickelson and nine other golfers were suspended by the PGA Tour for joining LIV Golf. They filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour. He compared these two, Jason, this way, the two pizza shops. I'm going to read word for word and let you go. You have a pizza shop that's been in existence for 50 years, and all the customers go to it, and it's a great product. All of a sudden, a new pizza shop opens up, right? And they start paying the customers to come eat at their place, and that pizza is potentially a little bit better of a pizza, right? And then, all of a sudden, that original pizza house, if you go over there, we're banning you from ever coming back to our pizza shop. What's wrong with that economic model? End quote.
Bryson DeChambeau is an idiot. There's just no other way to put this. Like, there is some spot here where, look, first and foremost, you're talking about a model of pizza places where you're paying to go eat pizza.
Right.
Like, I'll go back to country music. If you are, I've got a buddy that for years was the fiddle player for Carrie Underwood, right? Mm-hmm. So he's salaried to play for Carrie Underwood. Well, he might, like, she might take 6 months off.
Right.
And so he's looking around saying, I want some other gigs. Can I get some other gigs? Nobody wants to hire him because if she adds a show at the last second, he has to go work for her.
Sure.
Like, you can't necessarily have it both ways. Look at what we do. If tomorrow I was like, you know what? Freddie, let's just go hang out on Fox Radio tomorrow. You think ESPN's going to be good with that? Like, you have to understand that there are competition rules whenever you have these sorts of instances. So for Bryson to come back and compare it to consumers at a pizza shop, and by the way, if the one pizza shop says, man, you don't want to be over here anymore, like, if Bob's Burgers doesn't want to serve the guy that goes to the Italian place across
right.
the street, I'm fine with that. Like, yeah. This is just massive stupidity from Brad. Yeah. I refuse to believe he's stupid enough to actually believe what he just said there.
Oh, I completely believe that because he's always been tries to be this out-of-the-box thinker and everything. You can do those things, but here's the real. You guys decide to leave for the money, and I'm good with it. You made a grown man decision, but just because you want all things at your feet doesn't mean you should get it. They know that they want to play in majors, and they want to be part of the Ryder Cup, and they can't do it. And they're part of LIV Golf. And by the way, this suit comes down when they realize the PGA Tour is increasing more purses next year. It's not a coincidence, to use your term, that Bryson DeChambeau decided to have that to say, we want to come back, but on our terms.
I just would love to hear what the conversation is like when he goes to the Saudis that he took the money from. It's like, hey, guys, I'd like to go back to the PGA. Good luck with that, Bryson. Really appreciate it. I think that's going to work out real well for you.
I guess those pimento cheese sandwiches down at the Masters, that could be the breaking point for Bryson DeChambeau. So he tried to use cheese, pimento sandwiches, and pizza, and it still didn't work. So why does Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins feel like Charlie Brown and Lucy's taking the ball away from him every time he tries to kick it? We'll explain that right now. Jason Fitz and Freddie Coleman on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's what Tua Tagovailoa had to say when it comes to the Miami Dolphins and him being a starting quarterback and all the expressions and all the expectations and everything that goes along with it that will fall on his shoulders.
Something happening with Brady. I mean, I don't know all the details. I don't even know what happened. But, I mean, I got to talk to a couple of the guys, you know, to kind of find out what was going on, and everyone's wondering the same thing, so I'm not too sure.
But no discussions with, you know, I guess whether it's Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, or even Stephen Ross about your standing with the team.
What do you mean my standing with the team?
I mean the fact that they spoke with Tom Brady on multiple occasions, which included him potentially playing for the team.
Was that in 2019?
2019 and 2021.
Oh, okay. I remember I came in 2020, so whatever happened in 2019, I can't even speak on that. So I was here 2020, and I'm still here, and I'm blessed to be here, you know. If it has to do with support from the team, I think the team's all in with me and all the guys that we have now.
Look, that's a cute concept. I mean, but you also got to understand, look, if my option is Tua Tagovailoa, I own a team. My option is Tua or Tom.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you got to walk in the room. Like, if I walk in the room and I'm sitting there saying, like, I'm walking onto the set of a new debate show, and I'm like, guys, I feel really good about this. And they're like, man, we're gonna develop Fitz, and Fitzy's going to get good at this debate. I'm like, all right, I'm developed. I'm good. And then all of a sudden, you walk in one day, and Stephen A. sitting in the chair. I don't understand why it hurts your feelings. You look around, and you're like, I get it, Stephen A. I'll pack my stuff. Maybe I'll bring you a pimento sandwich for lunch later. I apologize for sitting in your seat. Like, you got to understand a little of your role if you're Tua. What's hard here is that, like, I don't think Tua is going to find security anywhere, because there's a group of quarterbacks right now. There's only a few of them, but there's a group of quarterbacks that don't really know what their future looks like. I put Baker in that conversation. If things don't go well for Miami, I put Tua in that conversation. Next year's draft class at quarterback looks stacked. I don't know that these guys are going to have, like, if Tua doesn't make it work in Miami, I don't think there's a second chance for him. He becomes a backup at that point. And that's weird. We're used to seeing high draft picks that don't make it. Yeah. They go somewhere else with a chance to pan out. I think there's too many young quarterbacks in the league right now and too many upcoming quarterbacks to find a hole from him if this doesn't work.
And especially if you're Tua Tagovailoa, it seems that every time he turns around, somebody wants him out of there.
Oh, God, yeah.
It doesn't matter what he has tried to do. This guy went 6-3 as a rookie, starting midway through the season, Jason. And people looked at him and said, we like him, but we don't like him. It's like they were doing everything they could not to swipe right. They just wanted to swipe left from Tua Tagovailoa. Tua's like, wait a minute. I just got here. At least give me a chance. Now they bring in Tyreek Hill, and he still has to hear that, yeah, we brought him in, but we don't believe he's the kind of quarterback, that you're the kind of quarterback that you're going to need with Tyreek Hill. So I don't blame Tua Tagovailoa for having his backup a little bit. He's like, wait a minute. I wasn't here when that was going on. Then he said, well, that was 2020, 2021. I'm worried about right now. And this team has shown me nothing but support, even though he clearly knows that has not been concrete the case since he got down to Miami.
I'll go back to my tampering analogy from yesterday where, you know, the Dolphins slid into Tom Brady's DMs, right? Like, the Dolphins are in a relationship with somebody that's cute and stable and really good for them. And, like, you know, everybody feels good about the relationship. But they are still sliding into the DMs of every supermodel they could possibly find.
Sure.
They're still going to bat, right? And so, like, they haven't decided they want to settle down. And even though Tua might be worth settling down with, I don't know that now, like, I feel like the wandering eye has wandered too much for them to be able to turn around and make it right. Like, why would Tua trust the Dolphins at this point? And the Dolphins obviously don't trust Tua. Yeah. Like, so it's broken.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're Tua, and what doesn't help him is one guy, and it's not in his division. It's not Josh Allen of Buffalo. It's not Zach Wilson of the New York Jets. It's Justin Herbert of the Chargers. The way that Justin Herbert has played the first 2 years in the NFL, people look at that and say, man, you passed on that guy because you wanted Tua, or you wanted Tua and you valued him more than Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert was just fair to Midland, then Tua's not worried about people trying to slide in other people's DMs to bring them there. But every time the Dolphins look at Justin Herbert, they're like, man, whew, we could have taken that guy, and we decided to take Tua Tagovailoa. That's been a problem, Tua. The more that guy continues to become an elite quarterback in the NFL, it looks worse for him with the Miami Dolphins.
And the more, I'll even add one more name to that. Like, okay. I know he was already off the board, but the more success, unprecedented success that Joe Burrow has, the more people will continue to look at it and say, man, if you got your guy, you know. Like, the Bengals knew right away. The Chargers knew right away. And the Dolphins are still dating. And that's got to be really tough when you have love at first sight on two different sides. Like, you've actually got one of those, like, married at first sight, and now you've got Love Island in the middle, where, like, we're going to put them with other hot people and we're going to see if they can make it work. Like, that's not a constructive way for this relationship to work out. And I think the comparisons are always tough in these draft classes because you do tend to look around at other quarterbacks selected and say, well, they love their partner and they love their partner. Why don't we love ours?
Yeah, Tua's tired of being a bachelor.
Yeah, 100%.
He really is.
He's just standing there with a rose, and he's like, somebody! I got flowers.
You got all these people out there that looks at, yeah, I don't really want the flower from you.
Yeah.
I'd rather get the rose from somebody else. And Tua's like, but my roses are pretty good. We don't think so.
Tua's the little kid on Valentine's Day that goes into the elementary school with Valentine's cards, and every time he sets it on somebody's desk, they roll their eyes. They're like, yeah, I'll be your Valentine's.
Or they see the flower, and they say, Stobalt. Cheap Stobalt.
Stobalt.
Stobalt. The cheap Stobalt. That's how Tua feels right now. Hey, Tua, hang in there, brother. Somebody support you. We just don't know who it is down in Miami. Jason Fitz and Freddie Coleman are partying on ESPN Radio. You're going to find out why the number 702 has everything to do with Brittany Griner and how you feel about it. That's next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.